some extra stuff to get out of this one. All right, Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Bible says, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. How's that for a greeting? He was met by a demon-possessed man. For a long time, this man had not even wore clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off, reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. And so he got in the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would come and that you would meet us here. Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction, Lord. I pray and I come against the demonic attack that would trip us up, Lord. That tripped up this man, that tripped up this whole area. Lord, I'm praying a release of your spirit, a release of your power, Lord. That we might be more than conquerors, that we might find your victory in our lives. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Kingdom victory. How many of you want to win in life? All right. We're going to be talking about that today. I've been trying to win with my car of late. I told you that we did, in essence, find the victory over the garage door. I've been telling you about that for the last many weeks. And now I have a new challenge, which is in my Ford Explorer. And my Ford Explorer was getting hot. If you know anything about motors, heat is your enemy. Heat is bad. Heat will melt your motor. And so many times, it's something simple like a thermostat. And so I replaced my thermostat, put in water, figured I was good. And I got these, you know, you get the gauges on your car. And a little red one comes on and says, "Check gauge." They're like, "You're running out of gas," something like that. And I check gauge, and the heat gauge was pegged all the way to hot. I'm like, "What's that? Oh, you know about that, Jeff?" Yeah. And so I had to replace not my thermostat, but my thermostat housing. Now, when I put this in, this bowl right here was spinning. It's kind of stripped out. And I thought maybe I can kind of fake it, you know, just kind of maybe it'll be tight enough, but it just kept on spinning. You got to get a nice snug bite on that thing. And so I went to the junkyard and I was going to ask them for a new bottom. And they said, "It's rare that we have one of these in because they are so defective. that as soon as we get one in, we hide them from one another so that we can sell them. This is at the junkyard. He says, I have a new one for you that's $150. And then some guy goes, hey, wait a minute, we just had an Explorer just come in the other day. We pulled a tranny out, remember? And he goes, oh, go see if the thermostat housing is still in that one. And he goes out there and he goes, oh, man, this one's like brand new. I had to charge you extra for it. And I, no. And I'm talking to him and I'm going, well, what's the problem? He says, well, they get leaks. And if you look here, and you probably can't see it, but you can look at it afterward, this is all corroded up in here, and you can see this rust. And there was a hole, not in the bolt, but the bolt was just caused me to go talk to the guys. And these are defective, or they fail easily, and they get a hole in here, and you're driving along, and water will just be squirting out of your thermostat, and you'll lose all the water in your system. So I had to replace this thing. It was 6 hours of work on that. And then I'm talking. Jackie says, Jackie has an Explorer later than mine. And she goes, yeah, my car's been overheating. I need to get a thermostat. I said, I don't think it's the thermostat. I think it's the thermostat housing. So Jackie's got the same problem. So then Julie Fontenot was over at her house yesterday, and Jackie drives up. Julie Fontenot has a 2003 Ford Explorer. And she says, oh, yeah, I'm looking for a thermostat. I said, I don't think it's a thermostat. I think it's a thermostat housing. You got water in your radiator. No, we've been losing water. And so it's like this problem's just popping up all over the place. Jesus goes to the region of the Gerasenes because there's a problem. Now, some people, like Jackie, she'd be filling that radiator up all the time. She didn't have a full yesterday. Just been trying to get by. Then I think I can make it work just by putting water in there. But I tell you what, you drive around in that car, and that heat is going to let you know where you got a problem. Amen? The Gerasenes had a problem. Jesus sails across the Sea of Galilee, gets off in this area. There's cliffs, there's hillside, there's all this stuff that's going on, and he's going there for a purpose. He is going there to reach out to the people of the Gerasenes. They had a problem, and they didn't even know it. See, they thought they had their action all tidied up. And some of us can feel like, hey, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I got all my loose ends tidied up. See, they had this demon-possessed guy with all the demons in one guy. That sounds pretty tidy, doesn't it? Hey, yeah, let's get all the demons going one guy, and then let's kick him out of town. Where would he hang out? He'd hang out in the tombs. You know, I say, what do they do with their dead people? Hang them out in the same area. They got their pigs grazing in that same area. They got all their messy stuff localized in one little area on the edge of town, and they're saying, we think we can deal with this. We think we're doing okay. And Jesus shows up and says, no, this is no way to live. See, I've come that you might have victory. And just getting by isn't not what I had in mind for you. So I'm going to have to expose some things that are going on in your lives. See, and that's what Jesus does for us. See, we've got some of the weightier issues in our lives all nice, tidied, and boxed up. Sometimes we put a wrapper on it. And we just box it up and we put it on the edge of our lives. We say, you know what? I'll get to that one day. But right now, I'm not going to worry about it. And the problem is, it's like driving around with this thermostat. One day, you're going to be driving around and this thing ain't going to have no water in it. And you're just going to melt your motor. And what can happen is that will sideline you for a long time. Sometimes you have to get a whole new motor. And the Lord is saying, until we get that far in your life, I need to expose the edges. I need to expose some of the stuff that's going on that you think you've got under control because you really don't have the control. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to just tidy up your life. I came that you might have victory. He says, the thief comes. Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have life to the full. He says, I don't want you just getting by. I don't want you just taking these big issues in your life and just sticking them on the edge of your life and not dealing with them. I want you more about getting along. I want you about victory. Have I got your attention now? Have I got your attention now? Can we continue on? All right, we're going to talk about demons today. And this is a situation that cannot be ignored. Some of you are in situations that cannot be ignored. You think you got it tidied up, but it's going to come and it's going to mess you up. That's what Jesus walks into. Jesus has an interesting meeting, okay? When Jesus stepped ashore, he's getting off the boat. He's got his crew with him. Got crowds, you know, trying to run around the lake. He goes to the shore, and he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. What a welcoming committee for our Lord. Amen? You got the demon-possessed guy, right? For a long time, the man had not worn clothes. He's not just demon-possessed. He's naked and demon-possessed. How's that for a visual? And he had not lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. He lived in the graves. I won't offend anybody, but this is a drawing, okay? I got to imagine this guy had arrested Jesus' attention. That Jesus had, that this guy had Jesus' complete attention. What is this? Can I get a witness on that? Amen. He was living in the tomb. My wife, yeah, well, it's going, you're offending me. Pray for me, guys. Okay. He's homeless. He's living in the tombs. Now, there would have been caves on the cliff sides. The pigs ran down the hillside, right? There's cliffs, and there would have been limestone cliffs and caves that were in the limestone. And the people, when their people died, when their family members died, they would put them. Now, my uncle, when I worked for him on the farm, he had a dead pit. And a cow died, you know, cows, calves, all that kind of stuff. Cow died, calf died. He'd just wrap a chain around its leg, strap it onto a tractor, strap it onto his truck, whatever, and drag it over to the dead pit. Now, he sorely hated the relatives across the street. Because, you know, they had this, like, family feud thing going on for a couple of generations. And so the dead pit was as close to their house as he could make it. And I'm telling you, you'd have to work around that dead pit. The reek that went up from that death was so incredible. I mean, it's like, oh, hold your breath as you drove by. It was just, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? Dead animal, you go by the garbage, got a bunch of meat in it, you know, it's like a week old. Whoa, that's just nasty. Well, that is like what the smell would have been like in the tombs. So here's the naked, demon-possessed man living surrounded by this stench and pigs. Now, I've raised pigs. I don't know how big the mama pig was. She had to be 400 pounds. I mean, her body was 6 feet long. She was big. And pigs are messy, you know, dirty as a pig, all that kind of stuff. That is an earned term. Why? Because pigs root. They dig up the ground with their noses and they eat, I don't know what they eat, bugs and roots. All they just do. That's what they do. And you get a bunch of them and they just root up a bunch of stuff. Now this says that there was a large herd there, and these pigs would be incredibly destructive. There was a junkyard over in Tecate that was actually in El Florido, kind of the edge of Florido, and this guy had these pigs, and the whole side of the hill was just mud because they would just tear it up. So check it out. What you got then is you got the demon-possessed man, you got the dead smell, and then you got the destruction wrought by all these pigs. And I think Jesus comes ashore and says, whoa, we got some stuff here that we got to deal with. And maybe Jesus is, right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, you got some stuff you need to deal with. Because you got a little bit of green going on, but there's a whole lot of tore up in your life. And it's time to take a look. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus is greeted with respect. Jesus is greeted with respect. When the demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet. Is that a sign of respect? Fell at his feet? Amen. And he said, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. I beg you, don't torture me." He is afraid of Jesus. Really, they are afraid of Jesus. And he happens to be the spokesman for all these demons. And they are giving Jesus some respect. First thing, Jesus is called Son of the Most High God. First time we've heard him called that. Except by Gabriel telling Mary, hey, your son will be called Son of the Most High God. The only place in Luke where he's called that is right here. By the demons. Why? Because they know who he is. See, these guys were angels. They were cast out of heaven. They had made a choice to follow Satan rather than follow our Lord. And so they were cast out, but they knew the spiritual hierarchy. They knew that Jesus was boss. And when the boss comes by, you got to be on your best behavior. Can I get a witness on that? And these guys are putting on the best behavior they can. Oh no, it's Jesus. Don't torture us. They are on their best behavior. When Jesus comes near you, are you on your best behavior? Because so many of us think, oh, Jesus is my buddy. And he's just going to put up with my bad behavior because he's my friend. Jesus, he's my friend. He wasn't a friend of these demons, man. They were tip-top. You know, sometimes my wife will leave Joe and I alone. And it's kind of a scary thing. Because me and Joe, we're just me and Joe, and we hang out, and we do kind of man things. And when she comes home, you know, we hear the garage door opening. Oh, no, Mom's home. And we got to pick up the shoes. We got to pick up the socks. We got to, like, you know, tidy up the dishes. We got to do some stuff. Why? Because she's got a different standard than we got. And we don't want to hear about that Stanford. We can start cleaning up right quick. And see, Jesus has a different standard than you have. His standard is higher. The Bible says that my ways are higher than your ways. And there is realistically no place you can go to be away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope you live your life realizing that you are in the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, point number two, bargaining with Jesus. Are you tracking with me? I saw a yawn there. Anybody else tired? Gotta go yell loud, throw spit wads at you. Okay. They begged him repeatedly. Who's they? The demons. The demons begged him repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. Right? Not to order them into the dungeon. Not to order them into hell. Not to order them into chains. Okay? A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus, let us go into the pigs. And the demons ask for mercy. I'm going to let that sink in for just a second. Because we read ahead, Jesus lets them go. Jesus lets them go. That's a little confusing. Here's Jesus. He's cornered a bunch of demons. And of course, it's like he's got them right there. He's got them like up against the wall. And of course he's going to send them to the abyss. Why? I mean, it's like demons are a bunch of cockroaches. Then what do you do when you see a cockroach? Bam! Stomp those babies. Kill them. Right? Jesus lets them go. I don't get it. I didn't get it. I come to the scripture and I'm confused. See a cockroach, man, you just got instant revulsion. Amen? You guys see a cockroach, what are you going to do? Stomp them. What are you ladies going to do? My wife runs away. But it's not like she's running away. Let them live, let them live, let them breed. Amen. Jesus lets them go into the herd of pigs. We have many references of Jesus interfacing with demons. Never once does he destroy one. Do you find that interesting? I'm thinking, wait a minute. We have to ask ourselves why. Here's a chance for Jesus to make the world a better place. Here's a chance for Jesus to kind of make things better for us. And that's what we're after. God to make things better for us. But that's not what Jesus is after, I guess. Bible says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I always wondered about that statement. I always wondered about that scripture. Jesus comes to the area of the Gerasenes and he's just stirring all this stuff up. Why doesn't he kill the demons? The demons serve a purpose. It's the only answer. The demons serve a purpose. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Why wouldn't he just destroy them? Why wasn't Jesus acting like we do when we see cockroaches, freaking out? And you know, we read about Jesus interfacing with these demons, and it's like it's no big deal. No big challenge to Jesus. He's not tripping. Jesus not going, oh no, there are demons in this guy. Oh no, there's more than one. I mean, isn't that what you would do? Legion, oh no, run away. Balthazar, are you running? You're using that chair, right? You're out of there. Not Jesus. Oh, Legion, a bunch of you, huh? You want to go into the pigs? Okay. Why? Why is Jesus so calm? Why is Jesus not threatened? Because Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control everywhere, of every situation. He is master of every situation, and there is nothing that these demons can do that is beyond his control. These demons have free will, just like we have free will. And there's nothing that they're going to be able to do that is going to be able to thwart the plan of Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? And I'm telling you today, there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that Balthazar can do that's going to derail the plan of Jesus. Balthazar has the opportunity to derail Balthazar. And Balthazar has the opportunity to derail the people around him. But God's purpose is going to continue on. And he reaches out to Balthazar and says, Balthazar, I got an opportunity for you. You're going to take it? Or are you going to continue destroying your life? And I know what's going on in Balthazar's life. And he's taken that opportunity. Some people say yes. Some people say no. But whether you say yes or no, God's plan, the kingdom plan, continues on. All these pigs are drowned. And it's not like Jesus going, whoops. Whoa. Got to come out of my pocket for these pigs. No, man. He's going, oh, I can use this. I can use this in my plan. Why? Because the truth of the kingdom of God overcomes every situation. Amen? If you get closer to God, see, he is calm. He is under control. The closer you get to Jesus, the more calm and the more under control you will be in your life. Why? The truth of God deals with everything. Even the big stuff that you have tidied up in that pretty little box and set on the edge of your life, hoping that you don't need to get to it. The thermostat housing of your life. Jesus says, you know what? This thing is going to go blow up on you. So let's deal with it today. Today? I spent so much time putting this thing way out there, I don't have to think about it. He's like, dude, your motor's going to blow on Tuesday. I think we might want to replace this today. You got 2 days left. So So it gets to Wednesday. You got a blown motor. Guess what? Kingdom truth still overcomes blown motor. Can I get a witness on that? It's like, how long do you want to wait? How destroyed do you want to let your life be till the kingdom of God reigns in your situation? Can I get a witness on that? Hallelujah. All right. One more point left. Jesus generates a response. Do you think so? You think he stirred things up enough around the town? I think so. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they went running. Yowza. They ran off and reported. That's a Jewish term, yowza. They ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went, yowza. No, the people came out to see what had happened. When they came to see to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they celebrated. They danced the victory. No, they were afraid. Ugh. What is going on? The people responded to Jesus in fear. This is something they had not seen before. The crazy guy in clothes. I bet he was looking good. He's in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. It would have been quite a scene. Now, there would have been some other stuff going on. Because don't forget about the pigs, right? The guys who were tending the pigs. Who's the first people they told about what had gone on? Well, the ones they saw on the way. But where were they headed to? The guys who owned the pigs. The guys who paid their tax. They said, this guy came off the boat. Hey, I don't know what happened. All the pigs, they ran down the cliff. We couldn't stop them. And they all drowned. So what do you do if you own a bunch of drowned pigs? Bury them? I don't think so, Johnny. Now, that's a pile of pigs. These pigs would have been different because they drug them out of the water. Because I tell you what, ain't one farmer going to let all that pork rot. He's going to grab every pig skinner in town that he can find. And there's going to be not only a meeting with Jesus going on, but there's going to be a pig sale going on. And pig blood and pig guts flying all over the place. Hey, get your ham hocks here. Get your bacon here. You know what? And they're just selling all these pigs right now. And so what you've got is you've got this wonderful little scene of the guy in his clothes and he's in his right mind and this wonderful little scene. And then you got all this carnage and all this skinning going on and blood and mud and all these guys doing all this stuff. And you have what? The stench of death everywhere. Not just the stench of the death from the tombs, but the death from the pigs. And they say, that's enough. They ask Jesus to leave. Jesus to go. Man, we had our lives all nice and tidy. All the demons, they were all in this dude. Pigs are out here. Dead people are out here. You messed everything up. Jesus, you got to go. He says, they told him how the demon-possessed man had been cured, and the people of the region garrison asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. The fear went up another level. Word there is a word that you know, even in Greek, mega. They had mega fear. They were overcome with fear. Why? The demons were loose. See, they had the demons all, and they knew this guy was demon-possessed. They had him chained up. They had guards on him. They said, better him than me. I want to nucleate this negative issue in my life, put it over on the edge so it doesn't have an impact. I just want to live my life and I want to ignore it. They want to live their lives ignoring that dude that was naked out in the tombs, demon-possessed. And Jesus said, this ain't going on no more. I'm going to stir this up a little bit for you. Bam! Demons are all over the place. Now the people are really afraid. Why? Because they got to deal with the demons. Said, Jesus, you done messed up our action. You got to go. And that might sound totally crazy to you. But you know people. Their lives start going a little bit sideways. This whole Jesus stuff, man, it's got to go. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You know, some people say, no, I ain't doing that Jesus stuff no more. Maybe you're thinking, you know, my life was so simple before I became a Christian. I didn't have to deal with anything. I'm going to go back to the old ways. Why does Jesus do this? He says, you can't make a deal with the devil. You can't make deals with demons. They're not going to hold up their end. They are. You already know that. You chained them. They broke the chains. You put guards on them. They ran away. He's lying to you. He's the father of all lies. You try and bargain with the negative aspects in your life. It's going to come and it's going to bleed over and blow you up. Blow up your motor. You can't do it. We're going to take a look at some of the massive issues that you have in your life so that you don't blow up your motor on Tuesday. And they said no. Kingdom of God. Jesus offers kingdom victory. And some people just say no. I'm not ready to deal with the massive issues in my life. You know, people come to this church. They aren't dealing with nothing. Probably most of them aren't here today. They're just playing a game. They got deals with demons. They got deals with the devil. They got massive issues on the edges of their life. And they just don't want to spend the time to deal with it. And Jesus says, hey, you want to have victory in life? You're going to have to deal with this big stuff. And some people just say, nah, too afraid. But not everyone. You have to ask yourself, okay, what's this whole story about? Well, you got four components to the story. I guess five if you want to include Jesus. But you got the demon-possessed man. So you got the man. You got the demons. You got the pigs. And you got the people. Are you tracking with me? Yeah? Four things, right? Well, Jesus ain't sweating the demons right now. And Jesus don't care about the pigs. I mean, they're dead. Amen? So what's that leave? It leaves the man, it leaves the people. And the guy says, Jesus. He's got to transform life. Can you relate to the guy? I can relate to the guy, man. I mean, I was like the guy at the tombs. My life was in the toilet, and the Lord offered me brand new life, and I took it. I said, Jesus, I want to come with you. Can I get a witness? Maybe some of you guys feel like that. Say, whoa, I've come a long way. Glory to God. And this guy says, Jesus, I want to come with you. And Jesus says, no. Head back to town. Tell these people what God has done for you. He says to the guy, if you come with me, who's going to reach these people? If you come with me, who's going to fight all these demons? I'm sending you back because you got victory. I'm going to have you teach some people how they can find victory. All these demons that were messing you, you got greater power than all of them. Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and what? He's got to run away. And some of us aren't resisting that hard, and we just got him on the edge. I don't have to deal with it today. There's some big stuff on the edge of your life. Are you running towards God, or are you running away from God? Kingdom of God is not about tidy, clean lives. Kingdom of God is about victory. And victory takes effort. And I'm wondering today, how are you feeling? You got the victory? Are you running to Jesus? Or are you running away from Jesus? You got issues on the edge of your life that you just would rather ignore? And the Lord is saying, oh no, today's the day. Because your life's getting ready to blow up. Lisa's going to come up and sing, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. And Lord, many of us have massive, massive issues in our lives, Lord, that we don't want to touch, we don't want to deal with. We just want to get by. Getting by is enough for us, Lord. Maybe that describes you this morning. You know, you're wondering why your life keeps blowing up and blowing up and blowing up, and the Lord is pointing out the massive issues in your life that you should be dealing with. And he says, I'll walk with you through it. I'll take you through it. Does not trip me out. I'm not worried about the massive issues in your life. We can handle it together, but I need you to begin to address them. And right now, you are terrified. You spent so much effort just trying to cover it up and pretty it up and make it look good. The Lord said, no, let's stir it all up. We need to get you some healing. We need to get you some victory. And it's time to start. No more sidestepping. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that each one of us has got issues that you would have us find victory in. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like the guy that was demon-possessed, man. Jesus, let me follow you. I want to surrender everything that I have, and I want to run with all my might after you, Lord. I want to devote my life to you. I want to follow you. And he says, okay, this is where I want you to serve. This is the impact I want you to have. I'm going to get some training. I'm going to equip you, and you'll take on those demons from your past. You'll go help the people that turned their backs on you before. Because I'm moving on, and then you're the one that's going to be where you're at. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that your kingdom, Lord, that you have purpose and that you have vision, that you have desires for each one of us, a desire to have victory, Lord, and not just slide by. I don't know where the Lord is hitting you this morning, but I do believe he's speaking to your heart. My question for you this morning is, has the Lord surfaced a little tidy little box in your life that you've been trying to avoid for weeks or months or years? And today the Lord says, it's time. I don't know what he's talking about, but you know what he's talking about. And nobody else looking around right now, but the Lord is speaking to your heart saying,